You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mumutsu, alongside me as always, three-time NBA champion BJ Armstrong, and as it's trade deadline week, GM extraordinaire Mr. Scott Perry, here to share some knowledge with you guys. How you fellas doing?
Doing great. Had a great workout this morning, Mo. Ready to go.
Okay. Well, here we are. Yesterday we broke down the Lakers and the impact Luka Doncic would have on them. Today, I figured while we wait for the Kevin Durant trade and a few other things to happen, we'll talk a little bit about the Dallas Mavericks, who are still active. They made a trade yesterday. They traded Quentin Grimes to the Philadelphia 76ers along with a second round pick. And they are receiving Caleb Martin in return. As a Celtics fan, I'm very glad to see Caleb Martin out of the Eastern Conference because he always plays well against us. I am understanding what the Dallas Mavericks are doing, right? They've traded Quentin Grimes because he's making $4 million this year, then they have to pay him in the summer. Whereas Caleb Martin is locked in up until 2028, making $8 million, $9 million a year. So they're not really trying to pay guys this summer. However, I think I would rather have Quentin Grimes, who is a younger player, who might even be a better player than Caleb Martin. But the Mavericks are of the view that Max Christie can fill that role, who had a fantastic debut for the Mavericks last night, who almost beat the Philadelphia 76ers on the road. It was an interesting game. Did you guys catch that game last night?
Did not catch it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mo.
Well, the game went right down to the wire, right?
Yeah, sir, I know it's a two-point game.
Yes. Yeah, Embiid missed the free throw to put the Sixers up one. So the Mavs had the chance to tie or win the game on the road. They called a timeout. After the timeout, they ran a play. The Sixers had a foul to give, so they fouled immediately. And then the Mavs decided to run the same exact action that the Sixers had just seen, which resulted in Kyrie getting double-teamed at the halfway line and Dante Exum getting the ball in his hands trying to score a game winner, which did not work out well. Almost a little preview into what life might be like without Luka Doncic, as you now only have one primary creator with the ball in their hands in Kyrie Irving. Teams can really focus on them. So it didn't go too well for the Mavs, but Max Christie looked really good. Do you guys think there are still more moves that the Mavs are going to make ahead of tomorrow's deadline to shore up this roster?
Possibly. I do possibly think that. Let me touch on what you talked about earlier with this trade. Obviously, you know, the financial ramifications are always a concern for a front office and a general manager to judiciously manage your finances. It's very important. Quentin Grimes, player that I was involved in drafting within New York, tremendous young man, hard worker, very good prospect who was playing really, really well this season, I thought, for the Dallas Mavericks. And because he was playing so well, I'm sure they felt he was going to price himself out of what they were going to be able to afford. They go get a Caleb Martin who has more playoff experience. I agree with you. Grimes has more upside at this point, better offensive player. Caleb Martin has showed us that he is an excellent defender on the wing, very versatile defender. Not that Grimes wasn't a solid defender, but this guy can really defend. We've seen him do it in playoff basketball, deep runs with the Miami Heat, and he's improved as a shooter. So I believe they looked at it from the basketball perspective too. Here's a guy who's had a lot of playoff experience, can defend multiple positions that we're going to need. They also just picked up Max Christie, who you mentioned who played well yesterday, who is still on a rookie scale contract. So I'm sure they felt there's duplication there now, having Max and being afforded the luxury to get rid of a Quentin Grimes now and bringing in Max Christie. So I see what they were doing there and understand what they're doing there. But to your point, if they make another move, it would probably have to be for a player who can create a little more off the dribble to help, whether it be the second unit, first unit, be able to create some offense off the bounce. But they've got some young players up there that can score. You know, there's the young kid from Detroit who's played well from time to time, from the Jaden Hardy kid. He's a nice offensive player there.
They still
In
got Spencer
Dallas,
Dinwiddie off the bench.
you still have Spencer Dinwiddie. So I just think you're gonna watch this team over the next 20 games really come together and formulate who they are. I like their depth. They're gonna be one of the better defensive teams, or have the potential to be one of the better defensive teams, not only in the Western Conference, but the entire league. And they'll be able to score enough, because when you talk about them double teaming Kyrie Irving last night, no Anthony Davis on the floor either. Makes a little bit of difference too. So if you have Anthony Davis on the floor with Kyrie, Anthony Davis can get you a bucket late game situation, late clock situation. So I still think this team has a chance to be really good and make a deep run in the Western Conference.
BJ, what are your thoughts on the Mavericks? Do you think they still have a lot more moves to come, or are they pretty much set with this roster?
Well, I don't know how you're defining a lot. However, you want to look at Kyrie, where he's at in his career, his availability. He's put a few miles, and then you have to get AD back. I think the key to all of this is to see, how are they gonna play AD? Are they gonna play him at the center position? Are they gonna play him at the power forward position? The kid, if Lively is still out, if I read that correctly. So I think they are fine. I'm sure they would. You're always looking for multiple ball handlers who could play with Kyrie Irving. I mean, that would be great. However, the big evaluation period for this team is when you get AD back, you get Lively back, you figure out what you're going to do. Gafford, for some reason, I remember him being, I don't know, available, or they weren't able to come
Yeah,
to
they
some
said they
type
were
of.
looking to move him
That was
a
about a
couple
month
weeks
ago.
ago.
Gafford. So I think their big concern would be, what does this team look like once they have a full roster? Lively, does this mean that he is the you're going to pencil in him as a starter at the center position, AD at the power forward position, and then you can go from there. So overall, I like the pieces that they have. There's a few things you may want to, shore up a little bit, especially the point guard position that both of you guys have mentioned earlier. Other than that, I like what they have. I think they have a team that could, obviously you need a little luck as you go along, along this journey. But overall, I mean, this team could be a formidable opponent in the playoffs. I think they have experience. They have, fairly good depth. But I overall like the team. I don't see them doing a lot of things other than a few small things to make sure they can get through the 82 game grind, and then of course be ready to go at full tilt once the playoffs begin.
Well, Anthony Davis, who gave up his $6 million trade bonus to improve the team, as he said, it's interesting that Kyrie Irving yesterday was speaking about the plans they had in 2018 for himself, Anthony Davis, and Kevin Durant to team up with each other. He said their original plan was to team up on the Boston Celtics with Jason Tatum as well, and see how things went there. Now, with all the rumors surrounding Kevin Durant potentially being traded, do you see a world in which the Mavericks can actually make a move for KD? Because there's a lot of names out there. People are talking about KD to the Warriors, KD to the Miami Heat. But do you think the Mavs could get involved in the mix and acquire Kevin Durant?
Interesting you bring that up. I just saw something come across the wire that the belief was there was no real tangible way or expectation that KD ends up in Dallas. This is from a writer in Dallas. I believe it was Mark Stein that said it. But because what you got to think about here, if you're Phoenix and if you're going to move on from Kevin Durant, and this team has no assets to get better, Phoenix. So I don't believe the Mavericks have enough in terms of assets, number one, to go get him. And then you look at a big contract like he has. From a player perspective, what player would Dallas be willing to give up that would allow that to happen as well too? I just don't see it being able to work from a financial situation, because you're not going to give up Kyrie. You got to have him. You got to have your point guard. You just got Anthony Davis there, to take. If they had a litany of picks, and you said okay, they were going to get back PJ Washington and Lively and three or four other pieces, and to make the money work in three, four first round picks, then maybe Phoenix would consider something like that. I think Phoenix is in a tough spot right now. If they're going to trade Durant, they've got to get some players back that can at least help Booker and Beal be good enough to be at minimum be a playoff team this year. And so I think when you're looking at if Kevin Durant were to be traded, you're going to have a few players that have been productive players in the NBA for a little bit to at least help keep them afloat for where they're at right now, as well as Phoenix being able to attain some draft capital to help their rebuilding efforts. Because you trade Kevin Durant now, basically you're saying that this experiment, this project, this plan did not work, and you gave up the farm for him too. You gave up everything to go get him. So it'd be interesting to see if they do that.
Well, salaries wise, you have Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving making both making over 40 million a year. Everyone else is kind of making a mid-level or below. Klay Thompson, PJ Washington making 15 each, whereas Kevin Durant himself is making over $50 million this season. And he still has next season on the books as well for 54, 55 million. So I think
So
it'd
you
be
have
very tough for the finances to work on a Dallas Mavericks trade for him. With regards to the Phoenix Suns, I think it's pretty obvious that their experiment didn't work. I think their experiment stopped working the day they made the move for Bradley Beal and his no trade clause. I think that was just over the top. I feel like when they had KD and Booker before they made the deal for Bradley Beal, they could have really put together a competitive team. But adding Beal's
Agreed.
salary and his play style to this team kind of, I don't know, there were some people that were pretty high on the Phoenix Suns, but I was not a believer. And I think that was the beginning of the end for them. I think, getting a new owner who has some level of basketball experience may have thought he was playing a little bit of NBA 2K, because an NBA 2K is a great deal. But in real life, respectfully, obviously it has not worked out. But what do I know? PJ, let's talk about Kevin Durant. If he is on the move, where are some possible destinations you can see Mr. Durant ending up?
Well, financially, you have to be able to absorb that contract. I mean, which is the obvious. And you want to be able to get a return on your investment, meaning in this situation, at his age and his contract situation, you want to be able to win and win right now. So, I don't know what the right place would be. That's a big commitment. I mean, you have to be, a team that can take on, would you guys say, over $50
Million
million?
dollars,
Yes. Yeah. You have to have a roster that is pretty much set. We always talk about here, what does that locker room look like? He's a phenomenal, phenomenal player. However, you're looking for someone where you can insert, plug and play. And I think anything else at this stage, because of his age and what he brings, you want to insert him and say, I'm going to get 25 points a night, and you go from there. And everything else you got to have set, your leaders of your team, your culture, your locker room, how we play, and you just insert in a talent. I remember some years when Scott and these guys brought in a guy, Rasheed Wallace. Right around this time, if I remember
Yeah,
correctly, Scott,
it was right at the deadline.
you bring in a player like that who had been traded once, right? Didn't he get traded to Atlanta, and then you guys got him from Atlanta? Is that how it
Yes,
works?
exactly. Because he was traded from Portland to Atlanta, and then we were able to get him from Atlanta.
So if you can find a place like that for Kevin Durant, I think that serves everyone well. I think that's a win-win situation. And for him, and because, it's very hard to justify, when you have three max players on a team and then you're only a couple games over 500. That's a very
Yeah.
hard sell to your fan base. It's very hard
And
to look at
you're in the
internally.
second apron. And you're second
You're the
apron
second
team.
apron team.
Apron team
So,
too. So
right.
like
So you have to be able to absorb that and say, this is what we need. Kevin Durant is an exceptional talent. Kevin Durant, he puts the ball in the basket. However, the thing that's gonna be needed is I think everything else has to be in place so that he can be who he really is. He is a certified scorer. And I think that was that way you can say, you know, we're getting what we want, he's getting what he wants. And I think that translates and gives the team the best chance to do what a team needs to do if you're gonna play in that game, is to win basketball games. That's what he gets paid to do. So I don't know who that team is right now. I think that's a very hard sale right now because of the amount financially, the responsibility that you got to take on. So you're gonna have to maybe juggle some things around if you're gonna take that on, but there's no doubt about the talent.
Plus, you can't, obviously, you got to continue to think about the Phoenix Suns' perspective at this thing as well. Kevin Durant, probably outside of Devin Booker, who's a younger player, is the most valuable player on their team in terms of trade capital. And so you only get one shot at this thing if you're going to move him. And so now when that's got to factor in too, when you start looking at teams who have, again, like I mentioned earlier, enough draft capital and some players or a player, because you're dealing with a second apron situation here too, that can help Phoenix. So it's a complicated deal, unless you're going to involve a third team and that kind of, which is possible to help get around it. But those become very complicated, especially when you got about, let's say, 30 hours left before the deadline. So it'll be interesting to see. Kevin went from a basketball side. You know, I know Kevin, drafted part of the staff that drafted Kevin to Seattle. And one thing about him, if he does get traded, he's one of those players that has a way of figuring out how to fit in and playing around other good players. Just the way, you know, because Kevin Durant scores and he's an efficient scorer. He's not a high volume. He doesn't have to be a high volume player. So that's the beauty of him. You watched him in the Olympics with all those great players this year. Kevin Durant is one of the more efficient scorers that we have in this league too. So he would bring that to any team he goes to.
Yeah, hindsight is 2020, right? Because ironically, the Portland Trailblazers now, who they sent DeAndre Ayton and Chimani Kamara to, have had the number one defense over the last 10 games, and Kamara's been a huge part of that. They're 9-1 over the
Who
last
did you say,
10.
Mo? DeAndre who?
Ayton.
Oh.
He's been playing pretty well. Kamara's been playing fantastic. They got the number one defense over the last 10 games, and they're 9-1 over the last 10 games. Meanwhile, they have Yusuf Nurkic over there in Portland, in Phoenix, doing whatever Yusuf Nurkic does. Let me ask you guys about this. The Miami Heat, they don't really own any immediate assets. They own their 2029, 2030, and 31 first round picks. They could trade, well, two of them and then a pick swap, along with Jimmy Butler, who is adamant on going to Phoenix for Kevin Durant. Do you see any way Phoenix do that deal?
We'll get to trade Kevin Durant for Jimmy Butler. In my opinion, that doesn't move the needle for Phoenix at all. And you
It
know,
makes them
and
worse.
Jim, exactly. And he now you got a guy that's, you know, a three, you know, similar to a Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. So I don't know that threesome there makes the team any better. They're better with Kevin Durant, even though they're just two games over 500. So, yeah, if I'm the Miami Heat, I'd jump at that.
Oh, yeah.
The Miami Heat would jump at that. I just don't know from the Phoenix perspective would they do that.
Well, BJ, I know you're a huge fan of Jonathan Kuminga, and that is a player that the Suns are reportedly very interested in. Do you see a way that Kevin Durant goes back to Golden State, where he's won two championships previously, and they send over maybe a Draymond Green plus Kuminga and Moody and some picks, or some combination with Andrew Wiggins' salary, over to the Phoenix Suns?
Well, without speaking to anyone internally there at the Warriors over the last couple of days, I have to believe that everyone's on the table, with the exception of
Steph
Steph
Curry.
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 Okay, I have to believe. So
I do
I
too.
would imagine that any type of scenario combination that they could figure out how to acquire a star player, I mean, that's what's been reported, they're going to at least consider it. Now, in the end, you know, what does that mean? You know, if you are the Phoenix Suns and you are looking to get Kuminga, I think that clearly for them says the following. They're pushing the reset button with Devin Booker, and they would probably go to Devin Booker and say, you know, are you comfortable with giving us time to, you know, figure out how we're going to do this? I think Jonathan Kuminga would be a great start. Jonathan Kuminga and Devin Booker, I think that would be a terrific start if they could figure out, you know, I don't know, their draft pick situation. And within a year or two, depending on what they do with the rest of their roster, I think they could be hovering. You know, when I say hovering, they could maybe be in the playoffs. They don't have to go all the way to the bottom, you know, and go through the whole process of rebuilding, but I think they can retool it with around those two players with their age and what they could do. I think the athletic ability is there. And more importantly, I mean, Devin Booker's a bona fide scorer. He can score the basketball at an elite level. So I think that would be a good trade for them. Now, financially, you got to figure out how to make it work, what you can absorb. With Kevin Durant, I think one of my goals would be to get out of the second apron. That would be one of my goals if I'm going to do this. And then you want your salary structure to be indicative of kind of what you're expecting to be at that particular time. I don't think right now being in the second apron, being 2 games over .500, that's not adding
No,
up. And I'm
no.
sure that's one of the reasons that you're hearing Kevin Durant's name out there so much is because of that. They probably figured out, well, if I'm going to be paying this much money, I should at least be 10 games over .500 by now, at the very least,
Yes, no question.
and be able to compete. So, you know,
If you're gonna be in the second apron, you want to be the Boston Celtics.
yes, yeah,
Yeah,
you,
that
yes,
you know teams like that. You know,
yeah,
that's.
you. I think that's understood. So this makes sense. But Jonathan Kuminga is a player that you have to consider. You know, you got to consider his upside, what he can do, what he could bring, what kind of contract he would command. If I remember correctly, he's still on a rookie scale deal, right?
Yes,
He's still.
yes, he
So you
is.
want to be able to, you know, figure out and project where he could be. So that would make sense. And then you take back what you have to take back, provided it gives you some type of relief. And I think that would be a win-win for everyone if, you know, if they were able to figure that out there with Portland. I mean, not Portland, Phoenix, the Warriors, and whoever they need to include to get that done.
Well, the second apron teams currently in the NBA are the Boston Celtics, as you said, Scott, who are competing, the Knicks, who are up there in the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks, who got off to a rough start to the season, but I'm sure they're confident they can turn things around. They're looking to make some moves. We spoke about that yesterday. But also the Phoenix Suns and the Minnesota Timberwolves. I saw something last night that was floating the idea of a trade between the Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns, which ended up with Kevin Durant in Minnesota. Do you think there's any legs to that, or do you think that's just speculation for the sake of speculation?
I think, again, speculation, probably people looking at teams that would be willing to trade high-end players. You look at Minnesota, you know, made the big trade for Julius Randle. The team has been a little hot and cold this year. I still believe they could really get it together. I know Julius recently went out with some sort of injury, but, you know, he's an all NBA player for, you know, has been an all-star. And so I could see, you know, at this time of year, Mo, which you have to be careful. There's a lot of people, whether they're on podcasts or media types, and they're running around talking to everybody, and people are just throwing out a lot of different ideas. So again, whether it has legs to it, I don't know, because I have not spoken to anyone on either side, Minnesota or Phoenix. But you know, again, if you go to get him, and put, you know, you got to be assuming that Randle would have to be the guy involved,
Yeah, that's what it was saying.
for Minnesota. But still, you got to get more money. So who else is involved in that from Minnesota's perspective? Is DiVincenzo going again with Randle?
Well, this is the
trying,
problem.
Are they
This
trying to
is
get Daniels or whoever?
This is the problem of being in a second apron. You can't send multiple players in the
players
same deal.
together.
You
Exactly.
can't combine salaries,
Well, that's
so it has to be straight
so
up
yeah. No, you, no,
for a
I know
three-team
that
deal.
it's got to be a three-team deal. So that's why I'm just, you start thinking a lot. It makes it almost, I don't say impossible to do a deal, but when you talk about team to team, it's very, very hard. Now, I don't believe anybody on Minnesota makes nowhere near the money that Durant makes.
No, because Anthony Edwards still hasn't spent enough years in the league
Yes,
to
in the
make that
league,
much.
exactly. Yeah, so you everybody's under $40 million, I believe, for Minnesota.
It's going to be interesting to see where Kevin Durant ends up, and it's also interesting if he doesn't end up on the move. BJ, how can that impact a locker room if a player is to be rumored in all these trade negotiations but ends up staying put? How much impact does that have on a team for the rest of the season?
Well, my experience with Kevin Durant has always he's been a pro. So for him, I don't think that will,
No.
I don't think that
Not
will
Kevin
affect
Durant
him in
specifically, but just with some of the other names that are floating around as well before the trade deadline.
any way. You know what? You would hope that everyone is a professional. This business, it is what it is. Now, it's always shocking the very first time you get traded. I can recall the very first time that I was traded. There's always some shock. There's always, for the most part, when this happens for the very first time, it's kind of your first introduction to a negative experience in a sport you've, for the most part, you've had a positive experience. It almost feels like a form of rejection. When you're in high school, you're getting recruited to go to college. When you're in college, you're looking forward to getting drafted. Everyone's telling you what you bring to the team. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're always looking to improve our roster, and you're not part of that. So, I just think right now, for any of these players that are involved in trades, I remember as a player, the very first time I heard my name in a trade, I didn't really know what to expect. Back then there were newspapers, and I remember it kind of affected me a little bit. I was like, man, is that true or not? And I remember one of the vets coming in, he said, man, you should be really happy right now. I was like, why? Because my name was in the paper, like, possibly get traded, possibly get traded. He's like, because when you don't hear your name in a trade rumor, that means you're out of the league. And then from that point, I always wanted my name in there because I always knew that I had some value in the league, right? So that's kind of the path that you have to learn about trades. I think Scott can tell you, people. He you should get calls, and you would hope that you would receive calls every day about your players. That means you have
No,
something.
so yeah, there's
That's
no
a
question
very
about
positive thing. And if you're not receiving players, it probably means you're probably going to be in trouble if you're sitting in that seat as the executive. So these are things you have to come to understand about the profession that we all chose. We're no one's victims. And when you have talent, hey, there are going to be other people that call you about your talent, and that's great. That's the best sign. And when I understood that after year one being in the NBA, it never bothered me again about being in a trade. I actually, in a weird way, I took it as a compliment that
Yeah.
it could possibly move and move on in the league. Not that I wanted to get moved, but I knew that there was value because the best players, everyone would take the best players.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, you
Yeah.
look at this Luka trade, for instance.
Look, let me just add some 30 seconds real quick to that. This time of year, I would take time and sit down with players, those who came to me nervous, hey, and ask me, because I would never lie to any guy, hey, am I going to get traded? And I would try to walk them through the business and say, look here, you need to worry. It's funny because I when BJ jogged my memory on that, I've said to this to many of players. I said, you need to be worried if I'm not getting calls about you.
Yes.
I said, if you're good, that means you're a good player. You want 10 teams calling me about you. That because at the end of the day, it's a business and it's your career, it's a job. That means you have value around the league. That means you have the potential to make money for a long time when people value you to that level. And then I would tell them, I said, look, and if I'm going to move you, you're going to hear from me before you hear it on social media or anywhere else. That was always my pledge to players because this is a difficult week for a lot of guys. And I understand it. I was big on the human element because a lot of these guys have families, kids in school, as BJ can, attest to. And it's more than just a player moving from city to city or from one team to the next team. It's his family moving too. There's a lot that comes with that. And so you try to do your best to get guys to understand that part of it. And I think the more transparent and the more upfront you are with you, they may not always like what you have to say, but the respect is there. And that was one of the things I took greatest pride in dealing with players, and especially during this time of the year, that I was going to be very transparent with them. And if they came and asked me about anything going on, I could, would tell them, I said, if something's going to happen, you'd hear about it from me. And I wouldn't get into a whole lot of heavy, heavy details, but at least they had an understanding of what was going on, or if they, still be around, or if there was even a possibility. So
Yeah,
I wanted to add that.
I respect that. Unlike, some deals I get done in complete secret and then the players are shocked to find out. But speaking of which, a lot of people talk about the Mavericks trading for Nico Harrison because of his prior relationship with Anthony Davis. And relating to Kevin Durant and the Warriors, Matt Ishbia played, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, played basketball at Michigan State, and Draymond Green
Yes.
also went to Michigan State. It's reported that those two have established somewhat of a close relationship. So that might be a factor in, the Warriors potentially sending Draymond Green over in that trade. I just want to play the hypothetical game for a second here. If they were to make a move which involved Draymond Green, Kuminga, and I think one or two other salaries going out in return for Kevin Durant, we know Kevin Durant is a great player and we're not disputing that. But given how much you lose defensively and how much depth you lose from your bench, could you not make the case that this move would make the Warriors worse than they currently are? Which sounds insane that trading for Kevin Durant will make your team worse, but you're losing a defense player, the caliber player, Draymond Green, Jonathan Kuminga, who's one of your better young players. Do you see that if this move hypothetically was to happen, it would actually make the Warriors less competitive?
My first thought is it would not make them less competitive, that they would figure it out with the remaining pieces they have there to be good enough. Now, do I think that would make them one of the top two or three teams in the Western Conference? No, I don't believe that. And I don't believe that the Phoenix Suns, too, with what they're getting back, they probably would stay in and around where they're at. I don't see right now that there's one move for the Warriors that's going to take them over the top. Now, it'll be must-see TV to see Kevin Durant and Steph Curry back together again to see what it looks like, but there'll be no Draymond Green and there'll be no Klay Thompson there. So it won't be the same type of reunion in dealing with this hypothetical. But no, I don't see the deal making them worse. They will be entertaining. They will be capable of beating people here and there. But for them to go 3-7-game series and make it to an NBA Finals, I don't think they would have enough to do that.
BJ, what are your thoughts?
Well, when I look at the Warriors, every player, great players in particular, must evolve. Steph Curry has had the benefit of playing as a combo guard for many years in their style of play. When you look at the Warriors, the hardest thing to do is to change. And we all have to change. We have to change our roles. Our roles change from year to year. However, when you're a great player, if you're the number one option, you probably change the least out of any other player. All the other players have to change their roles. Guys go maybe on the bench, they go to the starters. Guys go from, maybe you know, third option, fourth option. Maybe you transition to a defensive player, what have you. Well, when you look at this team, they're going to have to change their style of play. Okay. We all have these warm and fuzzy feelings about when you watch the Golden State Warriors, right? They would get up and down the court. They shoot a lot of threes. They play small ball. They come in with, you know, terms. This is the death lineup, and they do all these things. However, you know, you've heard me say this now for years, Mo, Scott. You know, Steph Curry has benefited from playing not as a lead guard for the majority of his career. Suddenly now, with Steph Curry, who's still a great player, he's going to have to transition into a new role with this team. And if they're going to build this team out, they're going to have to ask Steph Curry to do probably what he hasn't done since, I don't know, high school. He's going to have to be a lead guard. That's the first thing. He's going to have to be a lead guard with this team. I think they're going to have to figure out a different style and a different brand of basketball than they traditionally have played, right? There's no more Andre Iguodala. There's no more, you know, small ball and Klay Thompson guarding the other teams. Now everyone's going to have to be more defined. I think if Steph Curry is still your number one option, he's going to have to do it now as a primary ball handler and a lead guard and take responsibility of what a lead guard has done, has traditionally done with the team. He's going to have to organize the game. That's the first thing. The second, they're going to have to address their big situation. I'm not sure what they've been doing there. You know, it's kind of been, Draymond has always been kind of a safety net for Steve Kerr. You know, when things don't go right, you put him over there and he plays the five, and then they play small ball, five out offense. And you kind of, you know, you always knew you could reverse the ball through Draymond because he's a terrific ball handler. I think now they're going to have to really start to settle in until they get a player that can give them what we would look for in basketball, an unfair advantage. But I think it starts there. I think the days now of running split cuts and reads and all those things because you had multiple players in multiple positions, I don't think you have that now. Now you're going to have to simplify this thing and do what most teams do. You got to get the ball to your best player the majority of the time and figure out how to play from there. But the most important part of this, Steph Curry now is going to have to go to the lead guard position. Because if you do that, if you don't do that, then you're going to compromise defensively where you're at because of his size at this stage of his career. At this stage, he's at a different stage. We all evolve. And the great thing about players is you want the great players who've played in this league, they've all evolved, or most of them have evolved gracefully. You know, they move on to different phases of the game and figure out how to contribute to the game, but in a different way. So I think now this is the time. They keep trying to play the same way. It's like you go there and we keep expecting this, but they're older now and they're going to have to be able to move on and move to a different brand. I still think they can be effective. They have the experience, which you can't replace that, but they're going to have to figure out how to do it in a different way. And once you can settle in with Steph Curry being your leader, because I still think he is in that category as a player, but they're going to have to find out how to do it and play a different brand than they played, let's say, 3, 4, or 5 years ago, whenever they won their last championship. I think those days have already passed by.
Well, breaking news right now as we record the show, the Milwaukee Bucks are trading Chris Middleton, AJ Johnson, and a pick swap to the Washington Wizards for Kyle Kuzma, Patrick Beldon Jr., and a second-round draft pick. We spoke about this yesterday, just briefly, on the show. Mm-hmm. Chris Middleton has struggled a lot with injuries this season. He's looked like he's aged significantly with respect to Chris, because I do think he's a very talented ball player. But they have gone and got Kyle Kuzma, who last year turned down a trade to the Dallas Mavericks at a trade deadline, which then forced them to go and get PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. So now he joins the Milwaukee Bucks. What do you guys think, just immediate reaction off the top, that Kyle Kuzma is adding to this Bucks team, and do you think it makes them more of a threat in the Eastern Conference?
Well, what it does is that the assumption, I'm sure, on Milwaukee's part is that they're getting a player back that they're banking his health was going to be good for the remainder of the year. And so with that alone, having a healthy Kyle Kuzma, you know, I don't think he is the, when both are healthy, I don't think he was as good a player as Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton was very versatile. He could beat you off the dribble. He could post you a little bit. He could shoot the three. He was a good defender. Chris Middleton had a lot of winning qualities as a player. But the unfortunate thing for him and the Bucks is that he's missed so much time. And I think the injuries have robbed him of his abilities at this stage of his career. So so I get it in terms so just having a good NBA player in Kuzma, and I think he's a good player, and he will be able to, you know, play off of Giannis, and he'll be able to play off of Dame Lillard a little bit. Well, but but they're gonna lose. He doesn't have, I don't think, the same, like I said, ball handling versatility that Middleton had. You know, Kuzma, in my opinion, has always been a four, and that's what Giannis is. So from a fit standpoint, it'll be interesting, but what you're just banking off, we're getting a healthy player that adds to our mix, and they believe that's going to make them better. So it probably will make them marginally better just because they're going to have a healthy player.
Well, Kyle Kuzma is having actually a terrible season over there for Washington. He's shooting 28% from three, 42% from the field, all career lows on that.
I wouldn't read a ton into that.
He's on the Wizards, right?
Yeah, he's on the Wizards and the worst team in the league.
But,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Talking about him being more of a four, we're going to see more lineups with Giannis at the five, especially with Brook Lopez aging and, you know, you're going to have to manage his minutes somewhat. And their depth in the front court, you've really only got Bobby coming off the bench for significant minutes when you make a playoff run. BJ, what do you think about this move for the Milwaukee Bucks? Does it make them closer to competing with the likes of the Cavs and the Celtics and the Knicks? Or right now, my initial reaction, unless they make more moves, they're kind of staying where they are.
Well, when I look at the top two teams in the Eastern Conference, you know, it's a glaring thing that stands out as I watched those teams play last night. You better have size and you better have length. Evan Mobley, Porzingis,
Jalen, Al Horford.
Gifford,
well, that's what the Bucks have in Giannis and Lopez.
Yes. However, Brook Lopez... They're tall guys, and then they're big guys. Brook Lopez is a big guy. He plays like a big guy. Now, he has evolved where he's a stretch five. I can't believe I'm saying that. I remember when he first came in the league, he was a strictly low post player. Yes. Now he's shooting threes from the logo. Okay, so it's like, and give him credit for that. But Kyle Kuzma allows them the size and length to match up with Giannis. Because Giannis can't play everywhere. You're going to play him at the four. We're going to play him at the five. He is that versatile. However, this gives them the size. And it's very unfortunate because Chris Middleton, and this is my opinion now, is, you know, he's a championship caliber player.
Yeah.
He's proven that. He showed up in big moments for them. And it was very unfortunate that his health hasn't been able to do what I know he is. You know, he's a pro's pro. So this is very unfortunate for him. However, I think overall, I think in probably looking at the landscape and what's available, Kyle Kuzma has length. You know, Scott mentioned that he's probably a power forward, but in today's game, he's a player that can play multiple positions. He may be able to play some small five in some scenarios. But when I look at who they have to play, when you look at Evan Mobley, when you look at Porzingis and Al Horford and Jason Tatum, okay, at least now we're in the game. Now, whether or not it's good enough, that's debatable. We got to have that conversation. But it gives them a younger player. He is athletic. And he should be able to match up and play in that game. And as long as you have Giannis, you got Dame, you have some guys there. So, you know, I think that keeps them at least in the trajectory of saying we have a shot.
Yes.
Okay. So I think this is a good move for all. You know, I just because Chris Middleton's mind is still working. I think he did everything he possibly could do. But it happens, you know. You only get so many jumps in those legs. You only have so many opportunities, and for him, unfortunately, his body did not respond the way it needed, or I'm sure he would have liked to respond, because if he did, I think they would have a better record by this time.
You know, the big thing I'm going to be watching here too, Mo, is how quickly Kyle Kuzma fits into Milwaukee Bucks and starts to, understand and playing winning type basketball. He's been in a losing program the last number of years. And that's not a good place to be. You pick up bad habits. So now he's got to turn a switch now and start really playing some responsible, accountable basketball. You're going from a team that was hoping to lose every game this year, majority of the games, to now a team that's saying, no, it's championship or bust. That is a completely different locker room and a completely different mindset. So he's got to get on that moving train, and it'll be interesting to see how he does with that. The talent is there, but I want to see the mental side and the adaptation from him to really get on board and help them play some winning basketball. But interesting to see.
BJ, your Detroit Pistons have just acquired KJ Martin and 2 second-round picks from the Philadelphia 76ers. How do you feel? I'm not sure what Detroit's given up, but this could just be
No
a money
play.
shaving a money saving deal for the Sixers.
Yeah, because Detroit has some space just to take.
With all the space we have up there. I no comment right now, but I'm going to say this. I'm holding them accountable to making the playoffs this year.
The Pistons,
I'm holding
all the
the
Sixers.
I'm hold well, the Sixers probably won't play enough games to be held accountable, so I'm not gonna, but I'm gonna hold the Pistons, because this Pistons team and these young players have shown that they are ready. This is not a fluke. I would have hoped that they made a decision that you can say that pushed them over the top, because I think this team is ready. They're still competing minus Jaden Ivey, which is a great sign, because if he could come back, I don't know if he's even scheduled to come back this year, and I know the situation. I haven't looked at it lately, but I was hoping for something that would really push them into the top eight. I think this team should finish in the top eight this year, get some playoff experience. They've had a tough go at it. We've had a tough go at it up there in Detroit, but now we need to play not only meaningful basketball, we need some playoff experience and a few wins. Okay,
Absolutely.
now we've made the commitment to Cade. We have a team. We're consistently, competing. We're starting to win home games and expect to win home games. So I was really looking forward to this team saying, we're going to do something to someone that could be in their top eight.
Yeah, well,
Yes,
they're
and really in their top
currently,
six, and
the Pistons are currently sixth at 500.
As we say, I was hoping not to work around the
Well, let me just go circle back to that Milwaukee Bucks trade. Speaking of working around the margins, this trade does get them below the second apron. So that could mean that there are more moves in store now that they can combine some salaries and whatnot in these deals. But for the Pistons, I like KJ Martin. He's a good athlete. I don't think he's going to play that many minutes or make that much of an impact, but he's just a good guy to have on your roster. You know what I mean? If the right matchup, you need to have an athletic guy out there. Maybe.
I agree. He brings those qualities, but I just don't know where the minutes are for him.
With this group.
With the group they have
With
now.
this
That's
group.
all.
But it just
And so
improves depth.
that's
They
and
already
that's
lost
but
Ivy,
they
and
did
if
this move
anything.
to they did this move to pick up the second round picks. At the end of the day, that's let's be real clear about that. It's not about KJ Martin. It's about the second round picks. Because if it was about KJ Martin, they would team wouldn't have been attaching second round picks to him. So
yeah. But going back to the Bucks, they've got Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, Marjon Beauchamp, however you want to say it. Those are still salaries that could be aggregated in a trade now. That would bring you to around 24 million to bring in some level of impactful player. That's a big risk on some of your depth, though. But you could bring in someone with that. We're going to have to sit tight and see. And the trades are going to keep rolling in. So yes, stay tuned. Will. Tomorrow we'll have our trade deadline special episode. That will be a little bit later than our usual episodes. That will be after the trade deadline. So if you're in the UK, that will be after 8 p.m. If you're on the East Coast, after 3 p.m. On the West Coast, after midday. And I'm sure there will be a lot to talk about, fellas. And hopefully a little bit more exciting than KJ Martin and 2 second round picks, respectively.
hey, Scott, for us here in America, it's Wednesday and we haven't even talked about the Super Bowl at all.
Oh, because BJ, I'm going to explain this to you. Because we all know Taylor Swift's winning again.
Here we go.
It's just business. Scott,
just business at this point.
Living here in America, Scott, does it seem like I haven't heard anything about the Super Bowl?
It's been a quiet Super Bowl. This is the first time that I can recall that the NBA, in a little while, you know, jumped in front of the NFL. When Super Bowl week it was kicking off, the commissioner spoke on Monday. You didn't even hear, you know, I mean, obviously it was covered, but it's been all about the Luka Anthony Davis trade.
And so that
lets you know just how monumental and this trade and how much gravity this trade had with it, that it pulled all conversation in the entire sports world to look at the NBA and analyze this trade and process.
Are you saying, Scott, that Nico is good for business?
Good for business, maybe not good for the mass.
Exactly. Nico definitely kickstarted that. He and Rob Pelinka kickstarted that activity and got people talking about the NBA and really looking at this trade deadline. You know, I can't recall a trade deadline. I'm trying to, in my mind, go back over my history of working in the NBA, that there was a trade this large. And we've talked about that. And again, it just shows you how large it was, because when you said you brought up Super Bowl, it hasn't even felt like Super Bowl week.
No, it's been unusually quiet living here, right?
Yeah. Unusually quiet. I listen to enough NFL where I, you know, still pick up tidbits here and there, but it has been nothing like normal.
Well, from a casual perspective, I know that the Kansas City Chiefs have their devil magic and they have the referees on their side and they have Taylor Swift on their side. So I'm expecting them to win quite easily. But just for the NBA nerds who are still listening, just like myself, just looking at some of these numbers here, I believe the Sixers have got under the luxury tax with this move by trading Caleb Martin yesterday and KJ Martin today. It takes $14 million off the payroll and $17 million off the tax, meaning they save a combined $40 million. In total, and I think they did this last year just before the deadline. They duck under the tax threshold. So for anyone who cares about the financials of the deal, they had
when your team was expected to be one of the top three teams in the Eastern Conference and then one of the bottom four teams, that's just called saving face. The owners are saying, look, if we're not gonna be any good, we're not gonna be a playoff team, let me get my get some of my money back.
It was nice to see Embiid play. You know, after he saw Luka get traded, he actually suited up for a game last night. So that was fun.
It'll be interesting to see, too, because I wouldn't be surprised that they've been quietly trying to figure out where they could move Paul George to.
The Warriors apparently made a call to check in on Paul George.
I would not be surprised at that, because, again, we talked about things not working. See, one thing, and I'll leave you guys with this, and I learned this early on. Nobody's bats 100% on these decisions, whether it be trades, drafts, free agency signings. But the one thing that you have to be able to do is that you have to be able to recognize your own mistake before everybody else does. And then be man enough and take your ego aside and say, you know what? I missed on that. Let me figure out how I can correct it, how I can change it. Because it's always a correct, it can be a corrective action versus saying, oh, I did it. I know it's going to work. It's going to happen. It's on, you know, it's on the coaches. It's on whoever. No, you got to be able to put your hand up. Just like you add, you want your players to be accountable. You want your coach to be accountable. Well, you as a leader of the organization got to have some accountability and figure out, okay, this is not working. This didn't work. How do I rectify it? How do I try to get us out of this? And so it'll just be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. That's why we'll see what Daryl Morey does there. And
yeah, a couple Eastern Conference trades. We'll see what happens when the West Coast wakes up in a couple of hours. But yeah, subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back tomorrow with everything you need to know from the NBA's trade deadline and beyond. So until then, get buckets.